We are this morning in the fourth chapter of Philippians. We are drawing near to the end of this most wonderful letter of Paul to the church at Philippi. And just as a preview, after we finish Philippians in a few weeks, we will begin a study on the prophet Haggai. I see the wave going across the congregation. Indeed, it is a most wonderful minor prophet, minor in name alone. If you have your Bibles, open up to Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at two verses this morning. And we see that Paul is near the end as he begins with the word, finally. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, I pray that you would sear this passage into our hearts to the glory of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We prayed earlier in the service in our confession of sin from the Valley of Vision, the great Puritan prayers that are found in that book. And one clause jumped out at me in the confession of sin that we read this morning, and it was this: to be diligent in self-examination. To be diligent in self-examination. The passage we're looking at this morning is one of those passages for self-examination. It is an awesome, stinging, overwhelming passage for self-examination. A whopping, searing word of Paul to the church at Philippi, and indeed to all Christians. Let's begin our time this morning with a question. What do you think about when you are alone? No one else is around. It's quiet. What's on your mind and your heart? Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks, so he is. We are products of our thinking. So what is it that you think about when you wake up at 3 a.m.? What are you thinking about? What dominates your thinking during the daytime? In our passage this morning, Paul tells Christians that they need to take control of their thinking. And he describes for us what are the right things to think about. So let's look at our text in detail to see how Paul encourages us in our thinking. In verse 8, Paul provides this staccato list. Let's read it again. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And so Paul begins by providing six objectives prefaced by the word whatever and governed by the verb, which is an imperative, think about. Whatever is true, think about that. Whatever is honorable, think about that. Whatever is just, that is what you are to think about. There are six groups of things that the believer is to place his mind and his heart upon. We are to have our minds dwell on these things. Abide on these things. Look what it says. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. We are to think about things that are true. That's countercultural. We're in a society that tells us that nothing's true or everything's true. Paul starts here. Think about things that are true. This word in the Greek is the word amen, which is actually a Hebrew word. It refers to something that is certain and real and foundational. In fact, the word amen in Hebrew is often used as an architectural term. So the pillars that hold up the temple in Jerusalem are called the amen pillars. They are foundational and strong and sturdy and true. And again, in our postmodern world, the big question is, what is truth? Well, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Do you remember when Jesus stood before Pilate in John 18:38? Pilate turned to Jesus and said, what is truth? Nothing new under the sun. But the scriptures proclaim to us what's true. Thy word is truth. Psalm 119. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We are to put our hearts and our minds upon the Word of God and upon Christ Jesus. They are the truth. Secondly, look what Paul says. Whatever is honorable. We are to place our thoughts on things which are honorable. This is a term Paul uses a lot in his writings about things with dignity, things with honor. This is a characteristic, in fact, used in 1 Timothy chapter 3 for elders and for deacons and for their wives. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy 3, verse 4. He says about the elder, he must manage his own household well with all dignity, with all honor. Verse 8, deacons likewise must be dignified. They must be honorable. And verse 11, their wives likewise must be dignified. They must be honorable. Thirdly, the Philippians are to think about whatever is just, Paul says. Think about things of justice. That which is just is that which is in keeping with God's word, in keeping with God's law. And fourthly, we're going to do these real quickly. And fourthly, whatever is pure. That which is pure is what is free from any blemish or corruption or filth. And fifthly, Paul says, whatever is lovely. Believers are to think of lovely things, things that are pleasing and agreeable, rich artistry and deep, deep, wonderful things. And lastly, Paul says, whatever is commendable. Think about commendable things, admirable things, courageous things. Put your hearts and minds on such things. Charles Spurgeon, when he was looking at this passage, he said the following, Christian, be on the side of everything that is good and right, everything that increases virtue and purity. As a Christian man, he was at this point talking to his theological students, as a Christian man, take an interest in everything that helps to make men true, honest, just, pure, and lovely. John Calvin, when he was looking at this passage, says what Paul means here and what Paul says here are general exhortations which relate to the whole of life. This is to relate to everything that we do, everything that we think about. We are, as Christians, to live transformed lives in all areas of our being, and especially in our thinking, especially in our thinking. Listen to a passage that you know quite well, Romans 12, verse 2. Paul says this, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Here Paul exhorts believers to have their minds renewed and redeemed, and that we would spend our time thinking about things that are good and acceptable and perfect. And again, Paul in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says the following, "Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." That we would take every one of our thoughts captive to Christ. All our thoughts brought under the lordship of Christ. Paul says, think about such things. When I look at this passage, again, what we're being taught here by Paul is so countercultural. And it was countercultural in his day, just as it is in our day. I mean, you think of the city of Philippi, that the great immorality in a Roman city like Philippi. It imbued everything about that city. And we are surrounded by the impure as well. And we need to be concerned with what fills our minds. I have given you this statistic before, and that is, I heard that the average American, by the time he or she turns 18 years old, has seen a minimum of 1 million commercials. And of course, our minds and our lives become prisoners to such an incessant pounding by the world, an incessant pounding upon our hearts and our minds. And the reality is, and you can think about this, Paul says, think about these things. But another reality is that the impure becomes less offensive the more we hear it, the more we see it. The shock effect is gone. We become immune to the poison. Our thinking becomes unclear. Our thinking becomes foggy and more tolerant of the immoral and the obscene. I think, for example, the coarse language we hear across our culture on TV, and sure, but just in matters of ordinary conversation. And I find that today I rarely even blink an eye at such language. I am deeply saddened by so many pastors today who have fallen because of the internet. But honestly, it has become so commonplace that we rarely raise our eyebrows anymore. Another point for us to consider is the reality that once these bad, impure things go into our minds, they are so hard to get rid of. We so easily can conjure them up. We can bring them to the surface so quickly. We should make a stand not to put them there in the first place. So the reality is that our minds need a regular cleaning. And we need to ask ourselves some hard questions. Look what Paul says here again. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, put your mind on such things. And we need to ask ourselves, what do I fill my mind with? What kind of television do I watch? What kind of movies do I go to? What kind of books do I read? What sites do I go to on the internet? What kind of music do I listen to? What is filling up my head? What is filling up my heart? In verse 8, Paul says for Christians to think about excellent things, things worthy of praise. He's using an imperative. It's a command. We are to think. We are to think. But we're to think about good and pure things. God wants thoughtful Christians. That passage we read earlier, that Robert read earlier in Isaiah chapter 1. God says to his people, let us reason together. Let us think together. We serve a thinking God. And we're created in his image as thoughtful, creative creatures. It's what sets, one of the things that sets us apart from the rest of all creation is that we can think. And we can do it creatively. And we can do it in such a good way. We should think about and walk in all the ways of virtue. Are you a thoughtful Christian? Do you think about the deep things of the faith? Do you think about those excellent things? I recently heard an interview with a professional football player last week. And the reporter asked him what he does with his life. And he answered, I do two things. I play football and I play Xbox. That's it. Our culture, understand our culture is, of course, very entertainment and pleasure oriented. These things dominate our culture. One of my neighbors asked me what I like to do with my time, and I said, well, I like to read and I like to think. You would have thought by his reaction that I was from the Paleolithic period or I was a troglodyte living in a cave. Perhaps he's right, but the reality is the response was that way. Aldous Huxley, in his book Brave New World, believes that a government does not need to ban books to control people and their thinking. Just give them over to pleasure and entertainment, and there would be no reason to ban a book, for there would be no one who would want to read one. And while technology can be helpful to a culture, it can also have a negative impact. Neil Postman, in his book, Amusing Ourselves to Death, warns us that people come, quote, to adore the technologies that undo their capacities to think. Let me say that again. People come to adore the technologies that undo their capacities to think. How many people spend their days watching television, doing Facebook, tweeting, instant messaging, on and on and on. How much time do you and I spend thinking about God's Word and the deep things of the faith? How much time do you and I pray? Paul tells us in verse 8 emphatically to think and to think about the excellent, deep, rich things of the faith. We need a revival of the mind. That we would put our minds on things that are pleasing to Christ Jesus. Our minds and hearts upon things that would please our Lord. Yes, it is important that we think about these things. But Paul even goes further. Look at verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. We are not to be like the statue of the thinker by Rodin and simply contemplate and philosophize all day. No, look what Paul says here. Practice these things. In verse 8, he said, think about these things. In verse 9, practice these things. We are not only to think biblically, but we are to live biblically. We are not only to think virtuously, but we are to live virtuously. And for us to live rightly, we are to think rightly. So Paul is simply saying here, it won't do to have a good Christian life only in our thoughts, only in our minds, but it must impact our actions and what we do. And here Paul uses his own life as an example. And when you read Paul and you read Romans and you read Galatians and you read Philippians, you see a thoughtful Christian who loves the deep things of the faith and the rich things of life. He says, whatever you have learned from me, whatever you have heard from me, whatever you have received from me, whatever you have seen of me, put that into practice. As Paul has followed the example of Jesus in his walk, so should we. As Paul lived the Scriptures and brought all things under the Lordship of Christ, so should we. Our thoughts, every thought we have, is to be brought captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we really aware of what's out there? I was recently reading a study. This was just past a week or two ago. A study by the Kaiser Family Foundation. Its topic was the use of technology by the youth of America. It found this, that 8 to 18-year-olds spend more time with media than in any other activity besides perhaps sleeping. It is on average 7.5 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the study goes on to say, due to multitasking, the average young person crams 11 hours of media into that 7.5 hour stretch. 5 years ago, the average spent was 6.5 hours a day, so it has risen significantly in a mere 5 years. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me here. I believe there is a place for technology in our society and technology to be used by Christians. But what we are witnessing with our youth is technological domination and media saturation. The Kaiser study concludes with this. The use of every type of media has increased over the past 10 years, with the exception of reading. With the exception of reading. And I would argue that much of the information that is coming at our children is not good. That is our culture, dear friends. But the church is to be different. Christians are to be different. As Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We need to pray for a revival of the mind in the church. Please pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, these indeed are stinging words of Paul, and they sting our soul. Each of us here knows what we think about, what we spend our time doing. Oh Lord, transform our hearts and our minds that we would become more and more like Jesus. Jesus was a thoughtful person, a loving person, and one who had his heart and his mind upon true things and good things and pure things. May we be like him, O Lord. We pray this in the wondrous name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.